Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is A Lot to Learn with Austin Rogers. For the guy who knows everything, he's still got a lot to learn. Without further ado, here's Austin.
Welcome. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night. I have no idea what time it is because this is a podcast and we're listening to that whenever we do. Today is super awesome because right now we are on the 7 train with Rick McGuire of Subway Creatures, a massively, massively successful Instagram account that follows the weirdos and the cool people and the nut jobs.
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything, yeah. On originally the New York City subways, but now metros and tubes and whatever across the world. Welcome, Rick.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you having me on.
So we are literally on the 7 train in the brand new Hudson Yards station heading towards Queens. So if we hear mariachi bands or people yelling or people telling us to shut the fuck up,
stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please. That is the foibles of being on the New York City subway system. Rick, massive Instagram following. This is what people cultivate. This is what people spend years of their lives trying to do. How do we do it?
You know, it's probably the most common question. And I love the fact that there really isn't any other place that this kind of content is aggregated. And I think that that was one of the benefits of the account growing.
You mean your content?
Right. Well, that and just the content, you know, everyone has cameras these days on their phones, and you know, it's just so happens my page is the one that they send all of the subway specific stuff to. So that's what really you know, without the followers, I have nothing.
What? So, but there was a ground zero. Where did you start?
There was a ground zero.
Let's just talk the genesis. When are you from a marketing background? Are you from a social media background? Are you like, I see a gap in the social media landscape, so I'm going to harness it? Or are you like, hey, I just sort of like the weirdos on the subway systems?
So I actually have a production background. I've been a TV producer for about 10 years now, and I got on board with this whole social media thing early. Subway Creatures started as a website originally, and then Instagram came along a year later, and I started moving the content over there. And it just started snowballing. The content originally was stuff that I was shooting. I also, you know, found stuff on the internet that I thought would be great to show. And the content spoke for itself, and it just started growing and growing and growing to where it is now, which is a little over 1 million followers.
That's insane. But again, you sort of hedged the question. Did you target this from the website, from the onset from the website? Was it like, oh, I found something that is a cool niche, I'm going to harness it? Or is this something that just always piqued your interest?
No, I did. I'm a huge people watcher.
Gotcha.
I love, and that's one of the best things about living in New York City. You know, there's never a shortage of it. But I did notice when I started this in 2011 that there wasn't, no pun intended, a platform for this kind of content.
Platform.
So, you know, I was like, I need to start something where there is a place where people can go to kind of see all the craziness that there is. And it's not just craziness. It's strange. It's beautiful. There's a uniqueness that, you know, us as New Yorkers see in the subway every day. And the best part is that it, like you mentioned at the top of the show, it's not just New York anymore. It is international because There is the tube in London.
Yep.
There are subway systems all across the U.S. We're not going to, you know, discriminate against any of them.
No. That's super cool. And,
right.
And you know, you've got metros in Paris, and you've got them in Moscow, and,
right.
You know, Just think of how far you could go if Instagram were legal in China.
Oh,
because they have the largest metro systems on earth, other than New York is the longest and the most stops, but the largest per ridership.
You know what? You believe it or not, I have seen video from over there, and they have pristine subway systems.
Well, because they're literally brand new. They're literally 3 years old. Like, it's just all the big giant Chinese boom. They didn't have a metro like in half of those cities 4 years ago. Those cities weren't there 4 years ago. You know, Guangzhou was like just a backwater, and now it is seven times larger than New York City. So that's a whole nother.
We could go down that rabbit hole. Exactly. But exactly. This will be a different kind of episode.
And also, they're not listening in China. So there we go. I keep ragging on China every so often in podcasts. I'm like, what? They're not going to listen. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you don't have a contingency out there.
Exactly. So yeah, people watching. So today's this morning was really cool because it was part of a series. I did not know it was a series. It was the first time I had seen it, which is people sitting underneath subway ads that look like them.
Right. And you know, that actually has been, and you're talking, when you say today's, you're talking about the post that
came
went up on the
morning.
Account this
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And you're right. That's something that accidentally started. Someone sent me one picture of a guy sitting underneath a sign that looked exactly like him. And so what I did was I put it aside, and you know, maybe a day later, a week later, all of a sudden I started getting a few more that of the same kind of content.
Just through the zeitgeist. Never solicited this.
Nope.
It just happened that people were noticing
exactly.
This.
Exactly. And I was like, wow, you know what? I could post all these at the same time. This is a pretty crazy phenomenon that I never realized. So the first series came out. It did so well that... I don't know if you're hearing this with the sound in the background.
I think we can hear it.
I'll talk a little bit louder.
We'll fix it in post.
You'll fix it in post. the series, the first one, did so well that...
we were going around a turn. That's why the wheels got louder.
It did so well that people who I guess had pictures or videos saved on their phones... immediately started sending me more stuff.
Got it. There we go. So it wasn't that it was necessarily that. It was that people noticed these things. You just gave them an outlet for it.
Exactly. And now all of a sudden, bam, we have a part two, a part three. I believe this morning was now part nine. So it's just growing. And it's now gotten to the point where people don't think it's real. They think that these are staged. So I had to actually explain myself and say, I don't know if you guys understand, but the money, time, energy, and resources that would go into setting this kind of a thing up for nothing. There's nothing in this form other than a couple thousand likes. Is just outrageous that you'd think that.
Right.
And people are like, yeah, I guess we didn't see it that way. That's a good point.
Now, that sort of circles back to the social media maven sort of aspect of this, which I think a lot of listeners will be particularly interested in, because what's current in the world? Like, every teenager wants to be, quote, the influencer, right? And you... have found your voice. But what most people don't realize about you finding your voice is that you just said it. It took 7 years to find a voice and find what works, right? So what are some of the realities of this? This is not, you don't just wake up and you post a couple and you go to sleep again.
Correct.
Yeah, because this is you.
Right.
This is just you.
Right. And there's,
I mean, you hire people for other projects, but this ultimately is you on your phone, harnessing data, making posts daily, scheduled, et cetera, et cetera.
Correct. And I think that that's a big misconception by a lot of the followers, is that there's a team of people doing this, and it's not. It's just me. It is a lot of work. My day in, day out.
Let's walk through a day. You wake up at the crack of noon.
I wish that was the lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly.
I get up, same time, 8:30 every morning. And immediately have to go to the phone, because the other part of this is, if there is a viral video in there, you want to be the first person that's posting it before all the other massive accounts get to it.
Because whoever is sending this video out there is probably sending it to multiple things where they think it will pique their interest, but you want to be the one who harnesses it.
Exactly. Because what comes with that is you get the credit from the bigger accounts if you're the first to post it.
Right.
Which It helps your account grow, and that's what.
And of course, you're crediting the ultimate user who gave
it.
Yeah,
that's been a big thing for me from day one.
Well, and I think you have to not to go down the fuck Jerry's and the evils and the fat Jewish. Like those are corrupt organizations, and they get that reputation as such because of their unethical behavior with other people's content.
Exactly, and I've never once tried to pass content off as if it's my own. I make it very clear. By tagging people, and you know, there's a part that comes with that, you know, that's an incentive for people to send content in because they're gonna get credited and shouted out.
Oh wait,
for this stuff.
Wait, I've got one that I posted that never went anywhere on Twitter. I've got cannibal rats.
Oh, you gotta send that over.
I've got two rats, one rat eating another rat, and then another rat swoops in and they fight over the corpse of the third rat.
All right, I don't know why you didn't send this.
I don't know. I've got it. All right. It's really awesome. And everyone's like cheering. Actually, it's on a dead platform and half is disgust, half is cheering. I'll send this over to you.
But that is the type of stuff that you don't see every day.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Oh, fuck Pizza Rat. This is Cannibal Rat.
Side note, not to go down this road.
Yeah.
Pizza Rat is fake. That was.
No.
A woman. Who goes, an artist that goes by the name Zardulu, who has trained rats, and she trained them to drag the pizza down the stairs.
Are you kidding
me? Little side note that a lot of people don't know.
Are you kidding me? No, for real?
She also did another one called Selfie Rat, where a rat, quote unquote, took a selfie of a sleeping guy on the platform that also was staged.
Oh my God. What about the rat versus squirrel fight? Or was that pigeon versus squirrel fight? I forgot. There's so many rats versus pigeons versus squirrel fights.
If it's a rat in the subway, there's
her.
A good chance it was Zardulu.
No way. All right. Okay. Well, now I guess we get to the next thing, which is everyone wants to become an Instagram influencer and they want those big sponsorships and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I don't want to be gauche, but this is a living for you. So let's talk about monetization. Where's this come from? How does this happen? And I'm not saying this just for aspiring Instagrammers. I'm saying for curious people who hope to this is a real living these days, which is insane.
It is.
But
yeah.
You're filling the niche. So.
Right. And to go off of that, you know, regardless of the content or what the page is, They're when you have 1.3 million followers,
you're making money.
Advertisers look at that and they say, okay, there's that many people that are going to have eyes on something.
Right.
So let's get our brand in front of those people, especially with the demographic of the page, which is right in the heart of the 25 to 34 year old
urban,
yeah, exactly.
Urban, affluent, disposable income. It hits all the wheelhouses.
It does. And, you know, when they see it, the only thing that I try to say is let's make this native to the page. Let's somehow get whatever it is, your product, your brand, and let's incorporate it into a post.
Right. Go outside. Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I don't want to be showing the kind of content that I am, and then all of a sudden there's a Cialis ad on the page.
So where do the advertisers with your amount of clout, because clout's a real thing now apparently.
Yeah.
With your amount of clout, when people are attracted to you, when advertisers are attracted to you, let's go through the processes of that. I'll make up a brand, you know. Dewey's Cola comes up to you and like, Dewey's Cola really likes the Subway Creatures brand. How can we partner?
Right.
Let's go down that dialogue. What happens?
Well, I can actually give you a real example of what I've done.
Is this going to be a plug?
It won't be a plug, but this is the creative side of things, which I love because I have a creative background in production. So Netflix came to me and they were advertising the new premiere of Arrested Development.
Right.
So they came up with the idea to release 50 Never Nudes, which is a character from Arrested Development.
Yes, Tobias
Funke.
I blew myself.
There you go. So going off of that, they decided to paint head to toe a bunch of blue people and have them run around the subway.
Right.
But to make sure that this went viral, they wanted me to tag along and get a bunch of video and put it up on the account.
But transparent.
You have to be transparent. Yep. I mean, especially in social media these days. So, you know, even though it's very native to the page and they're running around in the subway doing funny things, jumping in with panhandlers and buskers and yep. playing instruments, you know, you have to throw hashtag ad in the caption.
Of course. Yep.
But it resonates with a lot of people in New York City. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe out of all the stuff in the subway, this is one thing that I missed. You know, I wish I was there for that.
Right.
And they all tag each other, and that's how things go
and
viral.
That's how things go spiral.
And that's how a successful campaign launches.
And furthermore, the jump-off point has to start with an account with 1.3 million
exactly.
users.
Right.
And then the eyeballs on extrapolate from there because your account is being retweeted and re-tagged thousands right. upon thousands of times for each of your 1.3 million users. So
exactly.
even though your 1.3 million is what the advertisers look at as the jump-off point, that's not actually where it goes because it's extrapolated out from there from each user
exactly.
duplicating.
Especially in an instance like that, you have to think, yeah, here are the insights and the numbers for
right.
my account, but exactly what you just said, just think of the numbers
exactly.
on the other accounts that reposted or picked it up.
But I guess that's an important point to bring to aspiring influencers and stuff like that, that you do need a critical mass to make yourself attractive
100%.
In the first place, because if you're just disseminating to your 20,000 users and then that trickles down from there,
right.
that's maybe a reach of 150,000.
Right.
But if you're starting at a jump-off point of 1.3 million, well, boom. There we go.
Right. And in today's world, a lot of what they call now micro-influencers,
mm-hmm.
They're actually targeted right. a little bit more because they know that those people, their audiences, are
hyper-attenuated to that kind
exactly.
of thing.
So that's, you know, that's why they're pinpointed a little bit more. However, you can't ignore the large numbers.
Right. And, yeah.
It's not easy growing an account these days. I was fortunate enough to get in before the algorithms kicked in and before Facebook took over Instagram. So the account was large enough before that happened. Nowadays, those algorithms kill everyone who are trying to build audiences.
So it actually just generally reinforces the big boys.
Exactly.
That's
yeah,
what you're going to see in your feed in the first
right,
place.
Right.
Whoever's the big boy in the first place, the algorithm is going to force that down your throat. So to cut through that noise of the massive accounts is nearly impossible.
It's very tough. It's very tough.
So, but then there is a way out of it, which is the micro-influencers. And this is a relatively recent trend from what I've been reading up on, which is a lot of brand influencers these days would rather have a hyper-focused 50,000 follower account that gets exactly to the people that they want it to, rather than a broad blanket account that gets
casting
to
a wider net.
Exactly.
Right.
And what are some of the industries and give me a theme of one of these hyper-targeted micro-influencers. Like, it can't be sneakers, because everyone has sneaker accounts, you know? And
right.
it can't be, like, I don't know. Give me an example. I don't even know.
Well, so I guess a good example would be, you know, JanSport. Or
JanSport,
some
backpacks.
Kind of yeah.
yeah.
So they're going to go after one of those extreme sports outdoorsy type accounts.
Well, JanSports are not extreme.
But, you know, like the backpacking
yeah.
and that,
yeah.
you know, that type of thing, it that audience is exactly who they're going to be going after. You know, whether it's them or maybe even, I don't know, what's something similar, any kind of like equipment that, you know, hikers use,
right.
whether like backpacking or camping.
Ice axes or carabiners
right.
or something like
right.
that.
So
right?
they're going to go after one of those really outdoorsy type of influencers.
Oh, I thought like something like a company that makes skateboard trucks. They just
mm-hmm.
make trucks and wheels. They don't make full skateboards, just
right.
trucks and wheels. And you get one hyper-targeted skater who uses those trucks and wheels. Boom. There
right.
you go.
And there's also things that work against me. I mean, the name alone, Subway Creatures, there's a lot of brands that may not want to be associated with an account that's called Subway Creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the content is a little risque, so maybe they don't want to be associated with that. So there are things that work against me, despite having that kind of a number as an audience.
Now, perfect segue, because you mentioned some of the risque. Before we started talking, you talked about, again, this is essentially a one-man operation. Before we talked, you talked about some of the challenges that you have being a one-man operation.
Right.
And I started saying there's a lot of characters in your set pieces, a lot of characters in your posts. And you brought something up.
Yeah, so there is an ethical side of this as well, where, you know, I do have standards. You know, I really stay away from the homeless. You know, you're not trying to exploit the homeless. You're also trying to make a judgment call on mental illness compared to someone who is just what I call, quote unquote, a regular New Yorker who may just be looking for attention.
Right.
Sometimes it's very hard.
Pretty much every New Yorker.
Right. And sometimes it's very hard to distinguish the difference. However, there are a lot of people from outside New York area who look at every person in a post as having a mental illness.
Right.
But they don't understand that.
This is just this a character.
This is New York. A lot of these people are performance artists. A lot of them just want attention on the subway. Some of them are buskers just trying to get money.
Yep.
So they're doing things for attention for money. So it's not, that's not always the case. But it's very hard sometimes to make that distinction. And
if the judgment call comes down.
If the judgment call comes down, I mean, you usually want to go on the safe side and just say it's not worth it.
Right. It's like the guy in Central Park. Who wears the fedora, you know the guy? And he has, not Central Park, in Washington Square Park. Wears the fedora, and he has a cat perch on his head.
Yes.
That guy?
He's a very famous character.
He's a character, right? Yep. Or what was the name? Oh. What was the name with the dude who wore the purple robes, and he was a wizard, and he hung out on, like, 14th Street?
So he's still... He's all over the place.
Moondog. Moondog, right?
That sounds familiar. I don't know his actual name, but I'm getting pictures of him and videos of him sent to me all the time. He is also a regular character in New York who, that's another thing. You can only post the same person so many times before people are like, yeah, we get it.
He's here. Yeah, he's one of the guys out there. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, you try to spread that out a little bit.
Right.
But, you know, there's the regular characters that I... to make a point to the audience, I bring them on my podcast so they can kind of tell their side of things and tell the story so people can see that they're not mentally ill or crazy.
Well, I like this, Rick, because twice you have reinforced ethics.
Right.
And the social media landscape is notoriously unethical right now. We've got the...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The battle between Jamila, what's her face, from The Good Place and the Kardashians, where she's like, you are causing children to starve to death by posting your weight loss milkshakes and not saying that you have a personal trainer and a dietitian and a chef behind that, right?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because they call them influencers for a reason.
Right.
You, believe it or not, I mean, and I think I mentioned this to you before we went on air, they're to us it just looks like numbers on a page.
Right.
But then when you actually start talking to your audience and you're getting feedback, you realize stuff that you're posting and saying actually they are listening and they are taking this in. So there's a responsibility, especially with an account that has 1.3 million followers.
Yeah.
There's a responsibility that you have that you need to make sure you're vetting stuff. You need to make sure that what you're putting up. I have a great example of this that just happened the other day. Someone sent me a video of a fire on the L train platform on First Ave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the video was sent in, and it was two kids. They were the only ones on the platform standing around this fire that had started, and they were taking pictures in front of it. So immediately you think there's no one else on the platform. These kids started a fire and they are now using that to take pictures to try and you know, have this great Instagram video or picture.
Right.
So it turns out it was a homeless man who started the fire and then walked away. These kids were just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right.
And I irresponsibly posted that, and they took a beating in the comment section because people thought that they were the ones who did it.
Right.
So I had to go back and correct myself.
Correct it, retract and, it. And
so
yeah.
that's an example of where you need to be responsible with a large account.
Now we've got the other thing on the large account, which is, yeah, exactly. You thought, or people thought, that these kids started it for likes and for views. We've got the thing that, I correct me if I'm wrong, but you had some influence in the that man kicking the hell out of that woman.
So,
and there
that's
were
a great
people
example
taping
as well.
It,
yeah.
taping it, and not acting.
I know that, and I'm assuming I can speak for you on this. Watching that is just so upsetting from multiple angles. Not only is it a 78-year-old homeless woman getting kicked in the face, but you have, like you just mentioned, the people who are standing around just watching.
And it wasn't,
it wasn't
one or two.
It was a crowd of them.
Several phones were on.
It was a crowd of them.
And
so that in an instance like that, actually the NYPD, I'm one of the few accounts that they follow that's not government related.
Uh-huh.
They follow my account and they reached out to me and they said, "We need your help
to help catch this guy." Because I remember watching you. You posted it several times.
So I posted it. I put his picture out there. I put the video of it.
And he's caught in hours.
He was caught a couple hours later. Now I can't say that was because of my account.
Because it went many, many different places.
There were celebrities reposting that.
Exactly.
There was a lot of news outlets. So I can't say that I was the reason for that. However, I can only hope that I helped. And luckily that guy was brought in and he was captured. And, you know, that's what I said on my podcast. That's when social media comes together for the good. You know, you do hear a lot of bad things, a lot of these horror stories of how social media tears people apart. But this was one of the good things where everyone came together and was on the same page. And we were able to find this guy and bring him in.
And that's a great point, because yeah, you did some good there, but ultimately there's not a gravitas to this social media movement. It's now the fabric of our life.
that's for sure.
But there's sort of a lack of gravitas. But I think you have harnessed that fine line between the two. I'm not blowing smoke at all. This is fun and games, mostly.
Right.
This is fun and games. This is random people watching made big on your phone wherever you want to be, because you couldn't do this ever before.
Of course.
Unless you sat in New York and you watched the characters going up and down the subway. And right now we're on the 7 train. You'll appreciate this. A friend of mine wrote either a PhD thesis or a senior thesis, I forgot, on Queens Boulevard and the 7 train, and found that I think of the 193 nations on Earth, 191 are represented, and of the 7,841 major languages on Earth, 6,200 are represented, and like apparently the most diverse swath of humanity possible is the 7 train in Queens Boulevard.
And you know what? I not only agree with that, but that's what I love about it. That's
right?
What I love about New York. That's what I love about the subway is, and there are those moments where there are beautiful things that happen where, you know, you're going to see all these people in one place together. And, you know, it may not be documented because to us, that's just every day.
Right.
But to a lot of people outside New York City, they're looking in, they're like, wow, this really is the melting pot.
Right. This is the cross section.
Right.
Like I don't know if you guys know, I'm sure you do know how much of an enthusiastic New Yorker I am. I mean, I've read like more books on New York on Earth, and like I do make fun of every other
city.
Are
you a native New Yorker?
I'm from Westchester, but I've now lived in Manhattan for 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I cut my
You definitely
I
did.
I think I cut it.
Yeah.
I made the cutoff. All right, great question. What's the cutoff? Let's do this.
So,
New Yorker to New Yorker. When are you real?
I heard the 10 years. 10 years is the graduation stage.
Yeah. No.
Would you agree or disagree with that?
I think 10 years is. You could say, 10 years is. You could say, yeah, I'm a New Yorker, comma, but I'm from. right?
Right.
20 years, yeah, I'm a New Yorker.
Okay, yeah. That's fair enough.
Right.
Fair enough.
Like, so I think from 0 to 10 years should be, I am from.
But
I live here.
Mm-hmm.
10 years to 20 years should be like, I'm a New Yorker, comma, but I'm from.
Yep.
So we reverse it.
Yep.
And then 20 years on, yeah, I'm full stop. Right.
Yep. I'll agree with that.
Yeah,
that's fair enough.
I'm
looking forward to that day.
I think
I got a little time to go, but
it's coming soon. Time is accelerating. What else do we want to talk about? We talked about the diversity here. We talked about the 7 train. We talked about social media influencing. Can we talk about, you know, a little bit of those numbers, like not getting into dollar value, but what kind of income generation and schedule can people expect from, you know, 1.3 million followers?
Yeah, and absolutely without obviously getting into those exact dollars.
We don't need to know.
There's enough to, especially with that number, to sustain, you know, believe it or not, rent in the city, which it sounds like no matter what your occupation is, it's hard to do.
Everyone has that challenge. It's like you're a $750,000 a year investment banker with a $2.1 million bonus, and you're still like, the rent's too damn high.
Right. Well, you know what we do as New Yorkers. We always like to max out our budgets on everything. So
right. The second you get that bonus, you're like moving up to a new apartment. Maybe don't do it quite yet. Maybe wait a little bit.
I'm very guilty of that myself.
I'm rent stabilized, so I don't care how much money I make.
God.
I'm staying in that
apartment.
That's
that 20 years that you came in.
Yeah, exactly. I've been in that apartment for 10 years now.
There you go.
But I've been here. Wait, how long have I been here? 20 years, right? Yeah. 20 years. Yeah. 2001? 2001.
Let's round up.
Let's
round up.
18.
But yeah, so even putting ads aside from the account, you know, I also have a podcast, which you can run the ads on that. Another thing that we're starting to do are live podcasts, which you can do from venues, whether it's comedy clubs, bars, clubs, and you can get a percentage of tickets coming through the door.
Yep.
So there are multiple ways that I've figured out of being able to monetize off of this. The problem that what's working against me now is, you know, when you think influencer, you think of a person who can be a spokesperson for a brand or a product. I am not the face of Subway Creatures. No one necessarily knows who I am.
Right.
So that works against me, because if I come out and say, hey, like you used before an example, Coke, drink Coke because Rick McGuire says, that's not going to work.
Right.
Because no one knows who Rick McGuire is.
Right.
And if Subway Creatures does it, it's not necessarily the same as getting, you know, like you said, one of those micro influencers who people know who that person
right.
is. So that actually works against me when it comes to being able to do face to customer advertising. So it has to be a little more over a broad spectrum, where you're trying to, like I said before, integrate these products into posts. So, you know, I'm not getting the full value, I would say, out of the 1.3 million followers because
right.
of reasons like that.
Whereas if you were, you know, that teeny bopper who did
right.
the thing
there
and
you go.
Is on the thing, then boom, there you go. Because she can literally get pegged to be like, buy Clairol, and then there
absolutely.
It is.
And, you know, there's the other thing about the audience, you know, the age of the audience. You know, I do have that nice 25 to 34-year-old demographic, which is awesome. But there are, you know, I don't have the younger audience, which grew up on social media.
Right.
Which, you know, maybe some of these, you know, they talk about, what was it, the Kylie Jenners of the world, who are now the first billionaire under 30.
Under 30. And,
and
I think she's 21. So
that's because of the
her peer group.
Her peer group.
Yeah.
And every single one of them are on social media, and not just one platform. They're on Snapchat, Instagram, you know, all these platforms.
Platforms that are defunct. I mean, the platforms, there's new. What's the new one? Some new one just came out. And
there's a
TikTok.
Which is now videos.
Yeah.
You know, it's wild. So, you know, there's those type of situations where, no kidding, she's going to put a post out of her drinking some herbal tea, and every little girl is going to go buy it, and she can get paid $1 million by that tea company to just post it, which is insane. But that's how it works these days.
Jeez. I mean, it is insane, because we're not native to it. I mean,
it's a new thing for us. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I interviewed a guy who was a venture capitalist in Southeast Asia, and he, Justin, spoke of how innovative the app ecosystem is in Southeast Asia, because we went from desktop to dial-up to laptop to normal phone to smartphone, and all of Southeast Asia went zero to smartphone.
Yeah. Can you imagine that?
They are native to the smartphone ecosystem. So they don't think of it, because we still think of our apps as programs within a computer. They don't think of it that. They think of it as you press a button, and when you open up that button is your dating website, your car rental site, your hotel site, and your groceries all on one button.
They have no idea the struggle
that we have them all.
The dial-ups of not being able to be on the phone when someone's on the internet.
Mom.
You logged me off.
The fact that Southeast Asia is completely native to the mobile ecosystem means they think of this whole thing totally different than we do, as, you know, not middle age, but as less young people. And now we've got this whole generation who have come of age. They're 18, or if you're 18 or 16 years old, when did the iPhone come out? 11 years ago, 12 years ago.
Can you believe that?
You were four years old when the iPhone came out.
Right.
So by the time you're six, you had the iPhone 3. I think that was my first one.
That's
I think my
crazy.
First one was the 3GS,
yeah,
right?
I think mine was a 4. Yeah. That's crazy. You know, while we're on the topic of advancing technology and how crazy it's gotten, I have a good story for that. There was someone who sent me a video. I don't exactly remember what it was, but they sent me a video. They were on a train just like we are, on the 7 train, which was above ground, and that's important only because they had service on their phone.
Yep.
They sent me the video of the person sitting directly across from them. I got it almost in real time. I posted it. This person was still sitting across from the person while this was breaking on the on Instagram.
And they
immediately messaged me. They go, "I had to get off the train because I was still sitting across from that person while you posted it. If they went on your page and saw it, they would know that I was the one who posted that video.
Because
my mind was blown when I heard that.
We're on the 7 train. We are above ground. We're on the 7 train local, which is notoriously long. So if you're on this for, 25 stops, you're on this for, 47 minutes or something like that?
Yeah.
If you're going to Shea Stadium, there I go, I dated myself. If you're going to Citi Field on the local, if you're going to Citi Field on the local, you are on this for 45 minutes. So I could imagine taking a photo, seeing it on Instagram, being like,
Gotta go,
next stop. Or at least walk to the other end of the car.
Yeah, you gotta get out of there, because you don't know the reaction.
That's funny, because you do this too. Like, one of my things about New York is people come into my bar and they're like, "It's so weird, because once you're in the bar, New Yorkers are just normal." I'm like, of course we're just normal, because you just don't bother us when we're on the sidewalk. Do you pull over on the freeway? Do you park your car diagonally across the freeway in Nebraska and get out and ask for directions? No.
Right.
You get off at a rest stop, and you ask the guy at the gas station at the rest stop. So you don't do that on our sidewalks. They're like, blah, 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 blah. And where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, I know where I was going with this. I'm sure you've done this, Rick. You've been in the subway, and, you're reading your book, or you're glued to your phone, or you're listening to music and staring off space, and then you look up and you look over, and you see someone you know.
Oh, yeah.
What do you do?
It happens all the time.
I duck my head,
and I try to make – I think we're about to get a busker here.
Busked.
Yeah.
Busked.
I was hoping we ran into this, actually.
Yeah, me too.
This is like me in my element right now. But that's just the background noise that you may or may not hear on this. But we as New Yorkers always are avoiding the person we work with.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, God. Because then I have to talk to them. I have to make small talk.
And you don't know how long they're going to be on for.
Oh, my God.
If they're on for, like, way too long. And even if it's, like, a really good friend of mine, I'll be like, I don't really want to.
It's so true.
Like, not a really good friend, but a good friend. If it's a good friend, I'd be like, I don't really want to do this right now.
It's very true. And Austin, there is a thing about New Yorkers that, we have this mentality of earphones in, heads down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which sometimes that's for the best, but there are other times where you're missing the world around you.
Oh, yeah.
And there are some awesome things that happen that you're not taking in.
Like right now. I mean, if I were to rank my buskers, I would rank...
let's do that. Let's do that. That's yeah.
Oh, I've got number one, and it's easy. It's the mariachi guys. They're
really?
The best. They are my number one. They harmonize. They usually have three or four instruments. They're all talented players. I come from a musical background. They're number one. The three guys with one's got like a bass, one's got and two have guitars, and they harmonize. Those are my number ones. When those guys are in, head up, earphones out.
There you go. See, I feel that way about the old school. We call them the OG singers. The old school guys who come on.
The doo-wop guys.
The doo-wop guys are my favorite
because
they're really good.
Yep.
And obviously, you have to be talented just to get people's attention anyway.
Yep.
But those guys, even though they are doing it as like a busking way, in a busking way, they're also, they do it because they love it.
They're having a good time.
They are.
Yeah.
And you could tell these guys grew up together. And
Yeah.
I could just be making that generalization in my head, but that's what I feel like. That's the vibe they're giving me.
There's one group of doo-wop, I think we're probably talking about the same group of doo-wop Motown guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably in their, generously, early 60s, right?
Yep.
Those guys are the best.
Absolutely. I'd say the worst are the Showtime people. Those are probably my least favorite.
I think that's everyone's worst.
But they're
great on the platform.
Well, that's what I know.
Those are the organized Showtime guys.
Why do they need to... I mean, I understand there's polls and everything, and they do it on the subway. But, you know, they're also the tourists who love every minute of it. But there's the regular New Yorkers who... It's just
they
tell you to move.
Just not right now.
It's just the loud music. Someone's gonna get kicked in the head.
And then there's all the lead up to the ultimate. It is Showtime, and it's like, oh, he did a spin around a pole. I'm like,
no,
there was nothing cool about that. Like, I could do that.
Well,
I can't do it.
I'm not gonna lie. There are a couple of those groups that are pretty talented. You're like, wow, okay, you just swung from the ceiling somehow and narrowly avoided people, but for the most part, it's just it's annoying.
Mariachi's still my number one. I'm gonna stick with that. And my number two is the incongruousness of a crazy classical musician on the platforms. Now those, I don't know if everyone knows this, Rick, but those people are provided with permits, and you have to go through a really rigorous audition process. What do you know about that?
So the process, I believe the program is called Underground New York, and like you just said, you actually have to audition to get the permit. And what the permit allows you to do is when you go to the spot that you have to reserve, I believe it's like maybe a month in advance, you can kick people out who are there
mm-hmm.
and legally perform without the cops bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the cops may come and tell you to turn the music down or, you know, sometimes they just monitor. But for the most part, you're legally allowed to be there, whereas you'll get chased by the cops if you don't have one of these big banners. Because what the program does is they give you a banner with your name on
it.
That you hang up behind you, and that's how the cops
know you're official. Yeah.
So, I love that you have to audition because it's not just letting anyone in. And sometimes that's what it is. There's a guy who's famous for going car to car. He's called the music assassin or something like that.
Ooh, I don't know if I know
so
this
what
one.
He does is, and people have found really clever ways of busking or getting money from people. So this guy has a saxophone and he goes car to car just blasting. It's not even music. It's just noise through the saxophone. And he goes, I will stop if you pay me money.
I know. I haven't seen him.
And people
How have
pay
I
him.
Not seen him?
And he will sit there and he'll just blare on his saxophone. And you know when you just blare out of an instrument to the point where it's like a squeaky loud noise?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're just, everyone, it's like a piercing sound.
Yeah, it's nails
so this
on
is
chalkboard.
What he does until people pay him to stop. So
That's...
they've found ways to kind of hijack subway cars and get money out of people where you kind of want to give it to them for creativity.
I mean, that's pretty
however
yeah,
you're like, there's God, that's awful.
There's a yes but, and there have been so many great moments in the subways. Like you've got that one couple years ago, the crazy trombonist, right? It was the Union Square station, I think.
Okay.
It was this awesome trombonist and it went like psycho. Are we, Are we at Citi Field already? Oh my God. Actually, that was one of the fastest seven train rides I've ever had.
It was.
Holy crap.
You know what I was wondering, which I can even check after this. I was wondering if because of what we're doing here with these very fancy mics that you have, we're going to wind up on Subway Creatures.
That would be the irony of irony.
You know that's happened to me once.
You've ended up on your own.
Someone sent a video of me, and it was funny because I was with a friend of mine, and we were... It was a holiday season, and I had these ugly Christmas sweaters that I was trying to make a pitch for. So we were like, oh, let's integrate it into the page. So I tried to act like I was a drunk guy wearing an ugly Christmas sweater, and I laid down on the floor, and I had him take a picture of me. Someone else was also taking a picture of me. So you can imagine the look on my face when I opened my emails, and there was a picture of myself. And I was like, wow, okay. So maybe it worked in a way that, you know, this is how these viral marketing campaigns work sometimes.
And I think, what are we doing? There is a train in front of
train
us.
Traffic.
Yeah,
likely
train traffic
story.
In front of us. Yeah, likely story. We've been flying. Where is the train? where could there possibly be a train? Whatever. I think that's the perfect, we're gonna have Rick on again. I think this is the perfect time to end this program where we ask people to contribute. How do they contribute to Subway Creatures, Rick?
You can either there is a email that is linked on the Instagram account. You can also direct message me whatever video or photos you have. I'm always going through that content. Like I said, I'll probably be going on into it after this just to see if anyone did take any videos or photos of us because we are doing something a little out of the norm with these mics in our faces, but that's the fun part about doing this. You know, you never know what you're going to see when you open up those emails or messages.
This is excellent. Subway Creatures is on Instagram. Are you on Twitter too?
Twitter, Facebook.
All of the things. And it is a really, really fun account. And again, it's not just New York anymore. It's worldwide. It's global. But always remember, like Rick said, be ethical and be mindful of what you're sending. Don't be exploitative. Right. Don't promote violence or anything nefarious. Right. Let's keep it fun and let's be good and happy as we go down this social media rabbit hole.
Absolutely.
Rick, thank you so much. And we're going to get off at Citi Field.
This is awesome timing. Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.